And it's a lot of, it's more NBA players that's going through Ramadan that y'all know.
I've wore every piece of jewelry. You know, I've dated some of the most, you know, famous and beautiful women, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, without a law, it means nothing. Without prayer, it means nothing. And it's a real empty feeling.
Since you mentioned sneaker, I want to get your thoughts on something.
Mm-hmm. Lil Nas X, and I have good news and bad news.
Take him
off
the
screen. The good news may be that the Old Town Road performer is getting a lot of attention.
So Irving, Kyrie Irving, that's his name, right?
Grateful always to Allah, God, for allowing me to come out here. So I'm just grateful.
People say that to me on my lives and in my comments, like they think they're going to offend me. Like they'll say, brother, you should love Jesus. And I'm like, I do love Jesus. I'm Muslim. This could be my last Ramadan. This could be your last Ramadan. This could be Eddie's last Ramadan. Let's take advantage of every single Salah. Let's take advantage of every single Dua.
Man, we don't need the Breakfast Club when we got the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. How you guys doing? We got our next guest coming up. G Unit Philly. Let's win, hustler, starve. AKA Tone Trump giving shahadas out in Philly. Abdul Salam. How you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, all is well. I'm glad to be here.
Did we hit that right? Let's win, hustle or starve. Is that you?
Some of that stuff is me. A lot of that stuff is old. You know, I can always tell when somebody did their Wikipedia homework on me. So some of that stuff you said in the beginning is old, but it's all a part of my story. So I can't, you know, I can't deny it. But we want the bigger and better things, you know, by the permission of Allah. So right now it's just the top eye, the prettiest, the smartest, the flyest, Tone Trump, the big Don, Muslim Don family. And I'm honored to be here with you today, brother.
I like that. I like that. We all have a past. We have some history. Let's go into a little bit of your history and what brought you to where you are today that you're actually thinking a lot different.
The best way I can answer that question is about 7 years ago, you know, the birth of my son, Aleem Samir. His mother had some complications during delivery. And she had a fever, so they started to, like, try to rush deliver the baby. I didn't have a lot of experience. I was very, very scared. And I had went outside the hospital room, and I prayed. And I just, you know, I was asking Allah, because I've always been aware of Allah. I've always been aware of Islam. My father, you know, and my uncle brought Islam to our family before I was born. So I've always had knowledge of Islam, but I didn't always, you know, follow the sunnah and follow the rights and rules of being a praying and believing Muslim. So I had knowledge, but I was living a life that wasn't, you know, conducive with calling myself a Muslim. So long story short, I made a prayer and I basically asked the Lord, you know, if you would protect my child, if you would bless my child to come out of this, you know, I would change my life. I would do things differently. I would, you know, just things that I think a lot of us do when our back is totally against the wall, especially people who don't pray normally. You usually pray when, you know, the chips are down, and that's what I did. And Allah answered my prayers. My son was 1,000% healthy. He's actually about 10 feet away from me right now, playing on his iPad, mashallah. So I kept my part of the promise, you know, to strive to live better. And as I, you know, it started with different steps. A good friend of mine named Kasib had invited me to a Friday prayer one day. And it started with me going 1 week. To me going every week. You know, another brother, Muhammad, was inviting me out. I always forget to mention them when I tell the story. So may Allah be pleased and reward both of them, because they play a big part in my journey. They both kind of just like the same way people would hit me up to go to clubs or to hang on the block. These two particular brothers would hit me up on Fridays. Yo, where we praying at? You know, and it's different when, you know, brothers you love and respect put that on you, because it's like, you know, you don't want to say, I ain't praying this week, or I ain't going nowhere. You know, I had to have an answer. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to Nebawiyah. I'm going to Mukta. I'm going to pray at this masjid. And it started to feed my soul in a way that I was realizing how much I needed to pray consistently, how much I needed this word. And it was all making, you know, when I was young and I was hearing about Islam, sometimes it didn't resonate with me. But now everything the Imam was saying, every cook bars felt so personal, like he was talking to me or about me. And I developed a personal relationship with the Dean that I feel like as I began to pray even more and to read even more, that I really felt my true purpose and calling. And I thank Allah every single day I wake up for that. So that's how I got to the point I am now. It started with just different things, different efforts. It started with the prayer for my son. Fast forward to about 3 years ago, I went to Umrah. and I did that prayer over again, this time at the Kaaba, asking Allah in a different way, just to, you know, replace all the things I'm doing haram with halal and make it where I can maintain a lifestyle that I'll be honest, that I still love. There's a lot of things that I struggle with that I shouldn't love anymore, that I still have a love for, Eddie. So some people like to pretend like, you know, when they take Shahada, you know, you get a new slate and now you're this new person. And alhamdulillah, that's true. But some of the things from this dunya, it's hard to let go of for others. You know, everybody has different, you know, jihads and different things they deal with. And for me, some of the things that I attach myself to are very transparent because of the fact what I do for a living. I'm a rapper, I'm an influencer, I'm an actor. So people see me. And, you know, as a Muslim, we're supposed to conceal our sins. And in my business, it's hard to do that. So, you know, sometimes that's the constant contradiction. But to totally answer your question, those different trials in my life, starting with my son, the birth of my son, were things that really made me, you know, step my game up. And that's how you got the man, the Muslim, and the Don that you're talking to today, mashallah.
Mashallah. So you have a big Muslim community in Philly, is that right?
Very big, very big, mashallah. Philadelphia, I like to say it's the biggest African-American Muslim community in America, and, you know, in North America, anywhere. I've been blessed by Allah to travel everywhere, and I've never been anywhere where I felt the presence of, you know, Shu Islam and, you know, Muslims and, you know, seeing hijabs and niqabs and, you know, thobes and kufis in the same manner that you see here in Philadelphia. It's the thing I'm most proud about this city. It's a lot of things in this city right now that aren't to be very proud of, but, you know, the place, you know, being so, you know, conducive for being Muslim, you know, so many places to pray, so many places to eat halal, is something that I don't take for granted. I'm very grateful of, you know, being here in Philadelphia, mashallah.
I've never been to Philly, but if I come down, you maybe take me to, what's this place called? Eats by Dre, get some crab cakes.
Oh, he gonna love that shout out. I'm definitely gonna get you some crab cakes from Eats by Dre, mashallah. I'm gonna take you to, yo, when you come to Philly, you want, and just so you know, for those listening who don't know, we've even coined Philly Philistine, which is a lot of times when people hear me say that, they think I'm talking about our brothers and sisters in Palestine who I love. But we renamed it, you know, the stand. When you hear Afghanistan and Palestine and Pakistan, the stand is land of. So we took it for land of Philly, and, you know, being such a Muslim city, you know, some people ride through Philly and they feel like they're in a Muslim country sometimes, bro. You see so many Muslims. So it's a beautiful thing.
Do you think it's like a, because you mentioned something now, it's a jihad every day, a struggle every day. It's, you know, but for somebody who's experienced, for people who've kind of just had most of what you can have in the dunya, and now you've tasted it, right? You've tasted the other side. You taste the sweetness of iman. That's what brought you to where you are. But now fighting, like you said, every day, you know, the temptations that are out there. And what do you tell people who are now striving to kind of go towards that life that you're trying to fight against, falling back, you know, people, you know, on the fence sometimes, you know, and you see people, they come over, they experience the iman, the sweetness of salat, of prayer, of connection with their creator. But then some people, you know, they end up falling back because of that struggle, that constant jihad, that constant war that we're with the satanic forces. You think it's harder because you've experienced most of the delights of this life. It's more of a challenge where other people, they haven't, you know, gone toward or experienced some of the many things that you've experienced.
I think it may be more of a challenge for some, but I think for me, it's more of a blessing because of some of the, you know, the success and failure I've had in the dunya and the worldly things. I've seen it at so many levels, bro. I've been around, you know, I've worked with some of the most famous people in the world. I've been around some very miserable people who have a lot of things in this worldly life to let me know how much that stuff doesn't really mean. You know, I've drove every single car you could think of. You know, I've had some, you know, I've wore every piece of jewelry. You know, I've dated some of the most, you know, famous and beautiful women, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, without Allah, it means nothing. Without prayer, it means nothing. And it's a real empty feeling when you realize that you work so hard and you think you want certain things until you get them. And then when you get them, you realize they really don't mean anything and they really don't matter. And that's why you see, you know, people struggling with mental health. And a lot of times, you know, you see people we think have everything, you know, they commit suicide because, you know, the things that we deem as everything aren't really anything. And that's what we struggle with in this world. And it's easy to say sometimes more than to do. But I'm living proof, man. Like, I've seen it all, man. Like, I've seen it all on every level. You know, growing up, you know, I wanted fame. I wanted money. I wanted the music world so bad. And as those things started to come, and, you know, some of them things, they cut. And another thing about haram money, it doesn't last. It doesn't sustain. You know, and you can have, you know, and we've seen that so many times. Look how many people you've seen, they say was worth $50 million, and then they poor and they homeless. You know, and people say, man, I would never let that happen to me. You can never say never because, for one, everything's written by law. And for two, you think those people that lost all that money thought they were going to lose it? No, everybody's not just dumb. Everybody's not just blowing their money. It's the fact that you're trying to do this and live this life. When you try to do this without God, it's not going to work. I don't care who you are. And even when we think it works in this worldly life, we look at some celebrities and you may think, you know, I hate to always use them as example, but I always like to use the Kardashians as an example because people see them with all that money and all of that fame, and they're always looking for something else, you know, from every member of the family. Like, you know, they're you know, reconstructing the way God made them look. You know, the head of their household tried to turn himself into a female, for crying out loud. With all of that money and that fame, he wasn't happy with being a man. You know what I mean? So I like to use that for example, especially when I'm talking to younger people. They got every, you know, Kanye West is over there. They just named him a billionaire. Does anybody think he looks happy? Does anybody think he looks like he, you know, do you see a door in his face when you see him? No. You know, that darkness and that sadness that you're seeing, that's this dunya. That's the shaitan. Despite all of that money, despite that beautiful wife, despite, this is a guy who his name is on the back of a sneaker that 90% of pop culture either are wearing or want to wear, and he's miserable. So that's a perfect example I can give you.
Since you mentioned sneaker, I want to get your thoughts on something.
Mm-hmm. Lil Nas X, and I have good news and bad news.
Take him
the
off
good
the
news may be that the Old Town Road performer with the launch of a pair of sneakers, and both of the headlines. Blood Sneakers, Lil Nas X's collaboration with Art Collective Mischief, were released the same day as the video. The 666 pair of sneakers are black with red trim and feature gold pentagrams, inverted crosses, as well as human blood inside the sole. The shoes, which are modified Nikes.
All right, you're the one that mentioned sneakers, so I want to get your reaction to that.
21-year-old rapper. So for everybody that hears that, that means 10 years ago, which isn't that long ago, that kid was in 7th grade, 8th grade maybe. So he's a kid, he's a baby. But the people at Columbia Records, the label he signed to, the people at Nike, the billion-dollar corporation that creates that sneaker, the people at whatever company that did the collab, they all should be held accountable for what they're pushing out, because they're aiming that for our children to see it. And it's promoting, you know, satanic rituals, it's promoting homosexuality, it's promoting cross-dressing, and these are all things that I don't think is fair that is being pushed by such powerful corporations. When you talk about Columbia Records, Nike, you know, and these are giants. So I think it's sad. I think it's pure evil. And I pray Allah protects my children and all children from, you know, entities like this. And this is why I feel like it's so important when people criticize, you know, the Muslim entertainers and influencers doing, you know, content and creating things. I understand we have to be mindful of the way we represent Islam. But at the same time, we also have to, you know, we have to, you know, we living in 2021 where these kids got these phones in their hand. And it's like, I'd rather my kid be looking at, you know, any of the Muslim influencer entertainers all day over watching the kid you just played on the screen. I don't even like saying none of their names, but the kid you just played on the screen. Mm-hmm.
So what do you, when you see the youth, where do you begin when you see them striving to emulate, to kind of do, you know, live that life that you were living, to be around, you know, to be a star, you know? Where do you start? Where do you begin with? What do you tell them?
I think the start is listening to them, and then I listen to them, and then I give them real life perspective. So I can tell them things that I went through. I can tell them things that I experienced, and also letting them see me be successful without doing those things. You know, if the kids in my neighborhood equate me driving a nice car and doing different things with me, dealing with drugs and stuff like that, they believe that comes with it. But if these kids see me out here pushing the power of prayer, and see me talking about waking up every day for Fajr and talk about Tawheed classes and Arabic classes and then doing great things they'll equate that with that as well, inshallah. And I think that's one of the big things for them to see us. You know, I do things intentionally. I did a meet and greet, and I make sure that when the young Muslim brothers that came out, I met a young brother named Tariq, and, you know, he comes up to me, and I want to be like you, Big Ock. And the first thing I tell him is, man, start with that Fajr prayer. And when I say that to him, and he looks over, and we got a Ferrari on the corner, and we got a, you know, a vintage Saab on the corner, and a G5 Benz wagon, and all these different things that he's only seen rappers and drug dealers have. And he see his Muslim elders having these things, and knowing that we can be successful, and seeing us bridge the gap. You know, at this particular meet and greet, I had Mufti Rafiq out there, so I got a Mufti out there on the same corner with, you know, ex-gang leaders and guys who just came home from prison, and just bridging the gap so the young brothers can also see us all unified and not have all this separatism where, you know, you, people are, oh, what kind of Muslim is he, or where is he from, and this race over here, and this type of Muslim over here. No, how about we all love Allah, we all acknowledge who his last and the beloved prophet is, and we all come together and not follow any entertainers, not follow each other. We follow the Sunnah, and we follow wanting for our brother and sister, we want for ourselves. And I feel like when the youth see that at a successful level, Eddie, I think we'll see a lot of change. I think people are busy yelling at these kids and telling them what they can't do and telling them what not to do. And nobody's giving them any alternatives. Nobody's showing them how to make any real halal money. You tell these kids don't do anything haram, but then the only way you tell them they can make halal money is stuff that they got to go to school for 50 years, come out of school in a whole bunch of debt. And kids now are wising up. Kids now are saying, hey, man, people are going to college, graduating college, and working for high school dropouts. So it's like people are smarting up now. So we have to show them those alternatives, whether it be through our faith, starting with our faith, and then starting with our own personal experiences. And that's what the Tone Trump movement, the Muslim Dawn movement, is all about. It's reality. It's not no fake stuff. It's not no facade. This is reality. You know, I can't sit here and tell these kids about, you know, stopping the violence without telling them my true story. I've been shot before. I've allegedly shot people before. So it's like I got to tell these kids my truth, what was going through my mind, what consequence I faces, how much being shot hurts, not just physically, but mentally, how much it hurts your family, your mother having to get that phone call, and just being real with them and let them know how much it's much funner to be doing things the right way and flying around the world business class and, you know, eating great food and meeting great people and collabing with other great believers. And I just want to show them that lifestyle and show them that, you know, it's a way that you can do it and see this and, you know, without... You know, you can get fame being a great imam or a great scholar or a student of knowledge. You can get fame being a scientist. You can get fame being a computer tech guy. There's so many things you can do to get, you know, fame or notoriety as well as money and falu. So it's like you just got to be smart about it, and you got to pray on it with purpose and ask Allah to guide your intentions and to guide your education in that field. And then just do what I do, man. You know, tunnel vision. Don't look. Don't worry about what nobody's saying. Just work every day and pray every day like it's your last.
I see you really like, you know, taking that responsibility of sharing the message, you know, the purpose of life with the people, doing dawah like every Muslim should be striving to do. And what do you like to talk about? In what direction do you take when you have people who have this love for Jesus? And then obviously it's an article of faith in Islam to believe and love Jesus, one of the mightiest messengers of God. So how do you take that conversation when Jesus comes up in your conversation? So
I think the first thing is like what you said, you know, is when we speak about the prophet, he says, peace and blessings be upon him, is mainly letting them know how much we love him. And I think that's the biggest misconception. People believe because we don't pray to Jesus that somehow we don't like him or we hate him. So I feel like the main thing is to show the regard that we speak of his name in, to show, you know, how much we love him. So, you know, we love Jesus. Like, it's like people say that to me on my lives and in my comments, like they think they're going to offend me. Like they'll say, brother, you should love Jesus. And I'm like, I do love Jesus. I'm Muslim. You know, I love all of Allah's creation, including, you know, the prophet. So that's my main thing. Like, I think the main thing is, like, getting that stereotype out the way, because I'm glad you said that, because that's a conversation I pretty much have every time someone takes Shahada. So, you know, and mashallah, my movement, you know, the other day we did an Eid toy give back, and we had two brothers take Shahada, mashallah, and one of the brothers was a strong, you know, brother coming from, you know, the Christian faith. And that was his thing. You know, what about my love for Jesus? And whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. And I'm like, yo, bro, you don't got to now hate Jesus. You know, you don't got to hate anybody or anything. And I think when we start to give him that dawah, and I think that's why one of the most important things we need to be pushing to is just having, you know, creed and tawheed classes and being able to show people true understanding of of the dean, you know, and true understanding of taqwa and the different things. Because a lot of times you hand somebody a Quran, a prayer rug, and you say, you know, figure it out. And that's not fair to them. It's not fair to this beautiful and perfect religion, Islam.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people love about when you talk about Tawheed, that pure monotheism. When we talk about, you know, the deep love of Jesus, that we worship like Jesus, we greet like Jesus. Peace be upon you. This is how he greeted. He prayed like we pray because he was a Muslim. He submitted to the will of the creator, not the creation.
Even in the pictures that they post that they proclaim to be Jesus, which I don't, you know, I don't necessarily prescribe to, obviously. That picture that they push around looks like that would be a Muslim. I mean, in today's time, I mean, this guy has a huge beard. He has a skin of bronze and he's wearing a thobe. It sounds like he's either a light skinned black dude or, you know what I mean? Like black Muslim or Arab Muslim to me, just by his appearance that they push out, by the way, not that we're pushing out.
Even what they had portrayed, what they push out of his blessed mother, who we love, who there's a chapter named after her in the Quran. She's in hijab, right? Isn't that amazing?
I use examples like that. Like, I make it practical for him. Like, you know what I mean? I may even, now that we said this, I may start asking dudes, like, let me see a picture of the Jesus you speak of. And then ask them, if you had to bet, if you didn't know who that was, and somebody said, is he a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew, for example, I think 9 out of 10 would say, that's an Aki, that's one of us. So I think that's one way we can approach it, inshallah.
Can we get you to talk about that on the Breakfast Club? Have you ever been on the Breakfast Club?
Inshallah, I should be doing the Breakfast Club next month. So
you heard of it? No, that popular show, the Breakfast Club, is it? Where they get different entertainers?
I should be doing it next month. And one thing about me, because my project dropped in June, so we want to schedule it around my project. The thing about me, Eddie, is you don't got to worry about me, man. Any microphone in front of me, man, Islam's going to come up.
Alhamdulillah.
Possible to interview Tone Trump. You can't interview me and not bring it up. You know, I wear it so proud on my sleeve. So there's a lot of Muslim artists that can sit down with people like the Breakfast Club, and they genuinely might not even know that person's Muslim. You don't sit down with me and not bring up something about Islam, and I'm proud of that. So we'll be definitely talking about those five prayers. We'll definitely be talking about, you know, the way Islam changed and saved my life. So I'm going to do that on any platform. And if you don't see it, trust me, they edit it out. And that'd be a problem because there's no platform. I was warned many a times that maybe, you know, in so many words, to turn down, you know, my broadness and my unapologeticness about my love for my faith. And I've never followed those orders. I've even done it more since they told me to kind of tone it down. I've turned it up even more on my show.
I like that. Unapologetically, one who has surrendered and submitted to the creator of the heavens and earth. And that's what a Muslim is. And that's what Islam is, to do that action. And this is something that we should be proud of. And just hearing you, seeing you, hopefully, inshallah, the youth and Muslims can get inspired, that they can go ahead like this. You actually were so excited about it, sharing, that you shared it with the person. We're going to get your reaction to this. He's now in a masjid. And you are a great influence in sharing the message with this individual.
4 days ago,
You know this guy?
He's doing it. He's excited about it, man. He's just happy the place that Allah has him. And I'm giving him the confidence to come out with, to not be shy. You see, now he's praying on the court now. And it's time for, especially guys in that light, to stop, to feel like they have to be something that they're not. You know, and that's what Kyrie said. You know, if I want to pray, If I wanna praise Allah in front of the world, I should be able to do that without offending anyone. And we're at the point now where we don't care who we offend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's where we at now. That's why most of the players, and it's a lot of, it's more NBA players that's going through Ramadan that y'all know. Yeah. It's like 8 or 9 right now that's going through Ramadan. And it's time.
What are your comments on that?
I'm just so proud of him, man. I'm so proud of his message, his movement. I love that brother, man. As you seen the difference in my reaction from when you played the first clip to the second clip, right? That's so that's somebody, you know, I call him Aki 5, you know what I mean? Stack 5, Steven Jackson, man, our brother in faith. You know, he was my brother before he was a Muslim. And, you know, him taking Shahada, him saying the beautiful words, you know, Laya Law, made him my twin brother, my closest brother. I love him to death. I love him. Words can't express the love and respect and honor I have for him. And, you know, he has a lot on him, Eddie. Like, you know, he was already thrust into a position of leadership for the civil rights movement. the biggest civil rights movement ever. People got to understand what went on with George Floyd, the way the world was paying attention to that. That's never happened in the history of ever. Like, even when, you know, our great leaders like, you know, Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, and, you know, Marcus Garvey, and I can go on and on, and Imam Jamil Al-Amin, and these different leaders, they didn't have the power of social media to connect these different worlds. Like, when we were coming up, when something would happen to us, we didn't know that people all the way in, let's just say, Yemen could feel our pain. And now, because of social media, we know that. And Aki Five, Steven Jackson, has been thrust into a position of leadership. He didn't sign up for that. And even after he took Shahada, I've never seen someone, you know, revert to Islam and just hit the ground running with the type. You know, you just showed a video of him speaking in a mosque. That brother's a brand new Muslim, and he's already, you know, garnering that love, respect, and attention. And I'm just honored to call him a brother. I ask Allah to continue to guide him and protect him. And he is, man, he different, bro. Like, it's, you know, he's just a special, special human being, and I love him. And like I said, I'm proud that he's with us, and I'm proud that, you know, we're with him. And we just getting started. We got a tour we're working on right now to announce real soon, inshallah. Me and him, a top Ock, Big Don speaking tour that we'll be giving da'wah, as well as doing some different things and workshops, and inshallah. So be on the lookout for that. And like I said, I'm just proud to call him my brother. I love him. He know what's up with us.
So a lot of people don't know that you were actually there in the masjid with him. You helped. Now, we were saying this term shahada. I mean, for not yet Muslims who are out there hearing this for the first time, this is basically declaring what's in your very nature. There's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty, Allah. And then Muhammad, just like Jesus, was the messenger, the final messenger. So that's the shahada. And you were someone who helped facilitate that. You were, describe that moment, like how it led up to that, and just in brief. And then you're in the masjid together when he took his shahada. For those people that don't know the story.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, first of all, it was an honor. Every day your phone don't ring with an NBA world champion, you know, calling you, period. I don't care who you are, let alone calling you for something so beautiful. So he had, I want to say he probably DM'd me first, and then we got on the phone, and it was like, let's just say it was like a Monday, and he was like, hey, bro, man, I've been, you know, reading up, I've been studying, man. I feel like Allah is calling me. I want to take my shahada, and I want to take it with you. And I that moment's priceless, man. Like, I got chills, man. I was so excited, and I'm like, when? And, you know, and I'm like, yo, bro, man, I would love to do that, man. Inshallah, man, when? And he was like, yo, man, I'm gonna try to come like tomorrow. Like, this is like, so he came like that Wednesday, man. And I had reached out to Imam Hamid and a young Imam in my city who we work with, the Muslim Down family. We work with hand in hand because he gives da'wah out in a practical way. You know, he studied in Medina, and he's very knowledgeable, student of knowledge, but he also is very practical when educating, you know, the newer Muslims, which I thought would be great. And the brother flew in like no longer than two days later, and the rest was amazing. The rest was something that was so beautiful. And I'll tell you this, Eddie, I'll sum it up for you like this. Steven Jackson is somebody who got drafted, you know, went to the NBA right out of high school, was a high school All-American, played with Kobe Bryant, NBA world champion, played with Hall of Famers, all these great things. And he looked at me that day and said, hey, bro, this is the greatest day of my life. Signed multi-million-dollar contracts. So, you know, this isn't a guy who's lived some boring life. He's done some amazing, great things. And he was able to acknowledge that this is the greatest, you know, moment of his life, mashallah.
We heard him mention Kyrie Irving.
Grateful always to Allah, God, for allowing me to come out here. So I'm just grateful.
See, a lot of people have questions. But yeah, I am taking part in Ramadan with a lot of my brothers and sisters, my Muslim brothers and sisters. And it's been an adjustment. That's really what I can say. Just being committed to my service to God, Allah, and then continuing on with whatever I'm guided with. So, you know, just happy to be part of my community and doing the right things. So fasting is definitely part of it, obviously, if you know anything about the Muslim community. But yeah, I'm just really blessed and grateful to be taking part of it.
So tell us about Kyrie. So people are wondering, is he Muslim, is he not? But it's official, he is Muslim, he's fasting. And do you know the background of what led to him accepting Islam?
No, I honestly, Eddie, I have never heard him say he's Muslim. I've heard him say he's participating in Ramadan. Mm-hmm. I've heard him say some different things, but I haven't heard him. I wasn't there when he took Shahada. I haven't seen any Muslims I know say they've seen or heard that. So I'm holding back on that for now, but I ask them all to guide them. I think it'll be great for the dean. It'll be great for Kyrie, first of all. Yeah. And I think it'll be great for, you know, young black boys and young black Muslim boys and, you know, young boys, period, young Arabs who will be inspired because this is somebody that they look up to anyway. So I ask Allah to guide him to the correct path. I don't want to speak too much on it because I don't know much about it. I do know that Stack loves him and Stack is a mentor for him. So I'll have to check in with Stack for that. But the last I've known, I'm not just going to say somebody. People believe everything they see on social media. Mm. I wish they believed in the law as quick as they believe social media and memes. But inshallah, that day is coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also mentioned that there are a lot. There was like nine or there was a bunch of NBA players that are fasting. They're Muslim. That he's having an influence over. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I know of a few players. I know Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics, mashallah. His uncle is actually my manager. So I know he's participating at least as fasting. I like to be careful with that because even when people say like non-Muslims are fasting, to me, it's no fasting without praying, Eddie. So mashallah. My imam, who's a great teacher, I remember one year he said, if you call yourself fasting without praying, you're just starving yourself. Mm-hmm. So I understand that the non-Muslims like to show us respect, but I don't want to speak on nobody, whether a celebrity or not, because just because you're not eating or just because you know some Muslims, you know, I want to be respectful, but at the same time, I also want to be respectful to the fasting Muslims as mm-hmm. well. And I don't, you know, just because you don't eat doesn't make you, you know, you're not observing Ramadan because there's so much more to that, you know, from the reciting, from us, you know, fasting, not just from food, but fasting from our tempers and different desires and different things like that. So it's just so much to it. So I've heard probably with the same much as you heard, but I just been focused on, you know, I don't focus on, you know, millionaire basketball players, bro. I focus on these little babies in the ghetto who are being murdered every day. And that's been my mission and my focus and my purpose. So I don't be knowing too much about them guys, but I pray Allah guides them all to true Islam and inshallah that happens. But in the meantime, we got so many babies to focus on, so many kids to focus on. We just did an initiative with the prisons. They need us far more than Kyrie Irving makes $40 million a year. He got a bunch of people he can call. I got to be in the ground roots, and I got to be in the streets helping these people that need me today. And that's what I'm doing, mashallah.
Do you think that because people in, you mentioned prison now, do you think now, because when people are participating, obviously in the rat race of life, so many distractions, especially if you got that type of money, those kind of the bling bling, as they call it.
Distractions get bigger when the money get bigger.
Yeah. Distractions get bigger when the money gets bigger. But if you're in, is that one of the reasons why in the prisons, Islam is the along with outside the prison, but particularly here in prisons, when people are now confined and they got a chance to think, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Why have I been created? And they look at the evidence of Islam now and they're forced to contemplate and to think, you know, you think this is why now in the prisons, so many people are accepting Islam?
I think it's deeper than that, but I'm sure that plays a part, but I think it's deeper than that. I mean, I truly believe Allah brings us back to the place we pray the most. So you have to be careful about that. A lot of brothers get to prison, man, and in the hood, they call it, you know, he on his deen, he praying hard. You see brothers come out of prison, they got, you know, big, big prayer marks on their forehead because they just bumping their head on that concrete and behind that G-wall. But I can't really speak, you know, from an Islamic standpoint, I can't speak on why. From a personal standpoint, you know, I want to be respectful to my brothers that's locked up and my brothers, because a lot of times people feel like they start trying to shame people who take shahada in prison, and I don't want to say anything that sounds anything like that. All I say is only Allah can make you Muslim. So when people take shahada in prison, alhamdulillah. And I that's the one good thing about prison, that, you know, people are discovering the beauty of Islam. And I think a lot of time it's just the influence. Like when you go somewhere, bro, and people want to be like the dudes that's running things. And, you know, sad to say, but the prisons are ran normally by the Muslims. So if you're 17, 16 years old, you're in adult prison, all the guys you look up to, all the guys that everybody fear, all the guys that people respect, all the guys that the guards talk to nice, normally are Muslims. So people get attracted to wanting to be Muslim. And the thing about prison is, the brothers in the prison that got 35, 40 years in, they're not going to let you play with this dean. You can't just have a big beard and some cut-off pants and think you're a Muslim. No, they're going to quiz you. They're going to question you on your prayers. They're going to question you on different things and to educate you as well. But just know you're going to be pressed about that dean.
A few more questions before we conclude. Tell us. So let's take it back. For
My phone just gave me a thing saying it's going to die. So, but we good right now.
All right, we got a couple more questions. So let's take it back for the Irvings. You know, the NBA players are from just the young boys, young adults who are tuning in. And now before, some who are, you know, trying to sympathize with Muslims, you know, and they're doing the Ramadan. But you said even before that, the prayer. But let's take it even before that. Now acknowledging that there's only one and only one creator of the heavens and earth, the Shahada. Go ahead. If somebody's already, they've been looking into Islam, you know, the articles of faith. They're like, OK, I agree with that. The five pillars of Islam, I agree with that. The Tawheed, the pure monotheism, what it starts with. And Muhammad being the last and final messenger. How would you go ahead and explain the Shahada for somebody out there who's like, OK, now I'm ready. I want to become a Muslim.
I probably explain it the same way that, you know, your favorite sheikh, your favorite scholar, your favorite, you know, I just do it in a way that I speak the language of my people. So I try to break it down. So if you was to watch a video of any, you know, imam and the way they would probably talk about their love for Islam, our love is probably similar. But the way I explain it is just different. So the main thing I do, Eddie, is I give life experiences. I let them know in the most convincing voice, the most passionate way, that Islam saved my life. And when I let them know that, you know, I'm living proof, man. People have seen my walk. People have seen my journey. So I don't really have to oversell it, man. People see, especially in my neighborhood. And then now even globally, because people have seen my struggles on the internet. It's people on the internet that have seen me get into fights and beefs. It's people on the internet that have seen me get arrested. It's people on the internet that have seen people close to me get arrested for everything from murder to selling drugs to everything. So the things that I've been affiliated with, you know, throughout my career and my life. And, you know, just being from where I'm from, you know, all these different trials and tribulations. So when people see that and then they see where I'm at now, bro, that's so much of a testimony. You know, one day the great scholar, Dr. Sherman Jackson, said to me one day, he spoke about me just being in the masjid, that being a form of dawah. So for people, you know, when I walk in the masjid and everybody's staring at my tattoos and stuff like that, I can take offense to that, or I can use that for an opportunity to just give dawah, or they may just receive dawah just by looking at me. Because if you're somebody that's trying to be holier than thou and you think you're so perfect, but you missed a few salats and you look over to your right and you see a black Muslim with 100 tattoos on and he's in Sahud and he's praying and praying, that's going to make you feel away. So we inspire even those who don't like us and love us, and we try to do it with real life and real practice. When I talk about the religion, you know, my uncle used to tell me, you don't have to wear your religion on your sleeve. You have to wear it on your heart. I've chose to wear it on both. And it's been trials for that, and it's been successes for that, and alhamdulillah for it all, the good and the bad. So the main thing I do, bro, is I break it down in their language. You know, I talk to them in a way they can understand. There's certain ways I'm talking and certain words I'm using in this interview that I'm not going to use with a 15-year-old on 54th Street. I'm just not. And mashallah, that's one of the reasons I think I have success, because I speak the language of the people, which our beloved Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, always stated was very, very, very important. Dressing and speaking the language of the people you know you serve, and I know who I serve.
Mashallah. All right, so with that said, brother, any final words? Is Ramadan for the people out there, for the Muslims out there, for the not yet Muslims, what message you want to end with?
For those that aren't Muslim, I just want to say that I pray Allah guides you to the truth and to the one, you know, the oneness of Allah, and I ask Allah to guide you to Islam and keep you on the correct path. For those that are Muslim, keep praying, keep striving, keep working. I'm living proof of Allah's mercy. I'm living proof of my mother's prayers. And you know, to those that are watching, just keep praying, keep pushing, keep believing. Love Allah, love yourself, love humanity. And right now in these last, you know, I don't know when they're gonna hear this, but right now we're living within the last 10 days. There's so many people who didn't know last year was gonna be their last Ramadan. This could be my last Ramadan. This could be your last Ramadan. This could be Eddie's last Ramadan. Let's take advantage of every single salah. Let's take advantage of every single dua. Let's make intentions to go to Mecca and Medina. Let's make intentions to do better in our communities. If you're not married, make intentions to get married. If you come from a non-Muslim family, make sure they know how to properly bury you. Get your affairs in order. This is the last few days of Ramadan. Make it count, because if this is your last Ramadan, think about how you prepare for the last day of school or the last day of work or whatever it may have been. This could be your last Ramadan. You know, may Allah have mercy on us all. I ask all those that are watching and listening, if you're able to watch the Dean Show, you're blessed. You either have a phone or a computer. Pray for those with less. Pray for the believers that are behind the bars. Malcolm X was in prison before. You guys all love him now. the next Malcolm X may be in prison right now. Make dua for that person. And I'm out, man. The biggest op, the top op, the biggest guy. They never thought they'd see this. They never thought they'd see Eddie. Where you from, Eddie?
Yeah, Chicago, Chi-Town.
Oh, I was hoping you said something. I don't know why. I thought you was from somewhere like another country.
Bosnia.
There we go. They never thought they would see the biggest op in Bosnia. Link up with the biggest op in Philly. This is a top op thing. Shout out to all the Muslims worldwide. Ramadan Mubarak. And I want to let all the Muslims know out there, Ramadan is the best time of year. Let's show the babies that. Let's show the kids that. Shout out to Hijabified Nas. Shout out to Neef Buck, Beanie Siegel, Freeway, J-Rock, Big Osama, everybody who volunteered and sponsored at our E-Toy Drive. It was so beautiful to see our babies get to have fun. Every year they got to watch all this Christmas stuff go on. So it was just great to be festive, you know, decorate. You know, I got stuff going on, man. I got plates this year. We got the plates with the Eid Mubarak on it. You know, we getting in the vibe, and you should get in the vibe too. This is beautiful. We are the best of humanity. We are number one. We are the most beautiful. We are the smartest. We are the strongest. We should be the happiest. Let's show it. Let's love each other, man. Love your neighbor for real, for real. And I'm going to sign out like that. May Allah have mercy on us all. And go to my Instagram right now and get you some merch and support everything Eddie is doing with the Dean Show. Yo, I'll be honest with you, bro. I do interviews every day. Wallahi, this was one of the ones I was waiting to do. I love your show. I love the way you guys, you know, your producers and edit everything up. So it's not hard to make me look good, but make me look good. Big MDF, man. Big MDF, man. Shout out to the whole Muslim Don.
I mean, Allah bless you.
I got to send Eddie some ice, man. You looking a little. I got
Allah bless you, brother. Brother.
For everything you're doing for the home. It's good. Like you, earlier you mentioned the Breakfast Club, man. We don't need the Breakfast Club when we got the Dean Show and we got all these different Muslim platforms. We building up our own platforms. And I'm going to play. So you want to say hi? It's Aileen right here. This is who I was talking about when I said about...
Assalamu alaikum.
This was the one I was...
MashaAllah.
This is the one I was praying for, MashaAllah. And,
beautiful. So,
my life, what?
I'm your life safe.
I love you. So that's the perfect way to sign out right there, man.
Right there, man.
I love y'all.
I love you too, but for the sake of Allah, brother. Inshallah, we'll be. What?
My baby, he don't like to get left out. This is Abdul Jalil. Say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right, man. I love y'all. Thanks, Eddie.
I'll see you, inshallah, here in Chicago or in Philly. We'll be getting some of those crab cakes.
Inshallah, I can't wait, man. And let me know. Keep me posted when my show ready so I can promote it to the world so it can be the biggest one ever, inshallah.
Inshallah.